Coon Rapids Baird Crusader baseball team went 29-5 this year, winning the Rolling Valley Conference undefeated through the conference run and also advancing down to the state baseball playoffs in Class 1A, falling in the quarterfinals in an outstanding and a well-played game. They lost 3-1 to Don Bosco. And joining us now to take a look back at it was an outstanding 2019 season as their head coach, John Waddle. And Coach, it's always good to talk to you and appreciate you joining us here today.
Glad to be here, Jeff.
Coach, first of all, congratulations on another great year. It was fun getting to see you guys play down there at the state baseball tournament. Hate to bring up what was probably a tough one to take that day. You guys played so well and just couldn't get that big hit. But again, congrats on a great season and what a run you guys made this year.
Thank you very much. You know, a lot of credit obviously goes to our players and how they developed from the beginning of the season all the way until the end of the season. I think we became a much better baseball team in July, and the run to the state tournament, I think, proved that.
What do you think changed then in July that made this team better?
Our staple this year had to be our defensive effort. In fact, when I finalized all the statistics for the season here, this team set a school record for fielding percentage. We fielded at a 949 clip, and I've been doing this for quite some time, 36 years, and that's the best fielding team that I have ever coached. And so when you make outs be outs is kind of a little saying that we have. It gives you an opportunity to win a lot of games.
Coach, when did you know this team was going to buy in defensively? Was it in the preseason practice, or was it as this season went on?
I think as the season went along, our confidence grew. You could see it in practice because we do a lot of situational stuff, a lot of scrimmage-type scenarios where our kids just kept making plays and it was making it difficult for our offense to score runs, to string together, you know, three or four hits. And if they didn't do that, they weren't getting the so-called freebies on errors. And so you could kind of see it happening as the season developed and throughout our practices.
Do you think you guys didn't walk a lot of guys this year either, if memory serves me correct. That's got to help a defense because you don't have all those extra guys on base.
Absolutely. You know, what we call our three-headed pitching attack this year by Christian Cook, Cade Schlepp, Quentin Culbertson, they all had tremendous ratios. You know, Cook had a 20-70 ratio on walks to strikeouts. Schlepp was 10-57. And then Culbertson was 27-44, but he had thrown against some pretty tough teams, too, in the non-league schedule. So we actually, from last year, we had 28 less walks this year, but yet we had 50 more strikeouts. So a lot of credit goes to those top three pitchers.
And you mentioned that non-conference schedule. You guys load it, and it is tough every single year. That's got to make your team grow in confidence that they're able to go out and beat some of those teams and play with the teams even when they fall.
Well, that's the tricky part, Jeff. You do have to beat some of those teams to gain that confidence. You can't be drilled by those teams, you know, night in and night out, because that doesn't do a lot for your psyche. But we were able to play very good baseball against a lot of those non-league opponents, you know, like Pleasantville, Alta Aurelia, Pocahontas, Webster City, New Ofonda, who made a sub-state game. So those games you can lean back on when you get into the district play and say, you know, the team that we're playing tonight is not any better than the team that we played earlier in the year. So I think it is a confidence factor for the kids.
What did you learn about your team through those first 5-10 games of the season?
Well, I knew we had the opportunity to be pretty good because we weren't giving up a lot of runs. And our one point of emphasis that we had this year, we had to become better at the batter's box and try to reduce our strikeouts and become better two-strike hitters. There's still room for improvement on that. You know, it's a difficult part of the sport of baseball to put the ball in play. But as we continue to get more at-bats under our belt, I saw our kids' confidence grow against, you know, better pitching. And once you do that and can force the opponent to make defensive plays, it gives you an opportunity to put runs on the board.
And Coach, with the mention of pitching here a moment ago, kind of got me thinking as well. With that new pitching change a few years ago where they're, you know, doing the pitch count and you got to hold pitchers down to a certain number and work those things in there and it's not innings anymore, has that forced everybody to go out and develop more pitchers? Because you guys always seem to have had the depth, but it seems like the depth is more important now.
Absolutely more important. And that's a point of emphasis to our kids, too. I said the quickest way to a varsity uniform in our program is to become a pitcher. And if you can perform and throw strikes, I don't care if you're an eighth or ninth grader, if you can throw the ball across the plate, develop some type of a secondary pitch, you're going to have the opportunity to pitch at the varsity level for us. And what that does is it leads in, and then you see some of these kids so-called come out of the woodwork, like a Cade Schlepp this year really blossomed. You know, Christian Cook continued to develop as a junior and a senior. And I think a lot of that is because of, you know, the fires that they've been thrown into when they were younger, because those kids are pitching a lot of our weekend games against good opponents, you know, like Pleasantville, ADM, Carroll High. A lot of times it's our 8th, 9th, and 10th graders that have to throw those games because our other guys are throwing our conference games. So I think we had 10 different pitchers throw at the varsity level this year.
And how do you guys work that as far as, like you said, you're throwing your younger guys that might not be your 1-2s or 3s, but how do you work out the innings and keep track of that, especially with the amount of weekend tournaments that you guys do play?
We have a lot of charts. I know that. You know, we botched one up last year, and so I revised some charts and stuff on that. And it's just a matter of going through them each and every single day. Trust me, as a coach, you're so paranoid on this pitch count rule because you do not want to screw it up as far as total pitches, number of days rest. And so I'm constantly reviewing that with Coach Hayden, and we're trying to make sure our players understand the rule. And we tell each player before we take batting practice, here's what your status is for tonight or the next several days. You know, Christian, you can't pitch again until Friday. Cade, you're limited to 50 pitches tonight because of what you threw last night. You know, that type of scenario. So we put some of the burden back on our players along with the coaching staff so that we're all into it together.
Where does this year's staff kind of rank amongst the staffs you've had in your time there?
Interestingly, I said, you know, we don't have what I consider a bona fide stopper. We had three pitchers that were very, very good. And what I mean by a bona fide stopper is someone that's throwing, you know, in the low to mid-80s type situation. We just didn't have that. But these kids, what was neat about this group is they really did throw a lot of strikes. And probably more than anything is they had a very, very good secondary pitch. And most of them also were able to develop a third pitch, too. And at any level, whether it's the major league level, college level, or especially at the high school level, if you can throw three pitches across the strike zone, you've got an opportunity to be successful.
Coach, winning that conference championship and going undefeated this year, what did that mean for you and for this group of kids?
Well, you kind of step back and shake your head because when you're going through it, you don't really realize maybe everything that's taken place or the run that you're on. But we beat a lot of good teams in our conference from the standpoint that almost every program had a bona fide, what I consider number one pitcher, a kid that was really, really good. And some of them even had a couple of them. And, you know, from our standpoint, we're usually facing the one or number two from those opponents. And in order to go 14-0, I mean, you have to play some really, really good baseball. You know, we got a break in a game or two and took advantage of it. But what a credit to our kids to do that. I think we may have only had one team ever do this before.
Is there a part of the season where you kind of felt like, man, we're really putting together a stretch here? I kind of looked through the schedule a little bit. You won at Exira 5-4. Just before that, you won at Cam, who is a very nice team this year. Then you won at Arweva. You know, all three of those wins on the road against really pretty salty programs.
Probably after the Carroll tournament is when we really started playing good baseball. After the loss to Carroll, we actually rattled off 13 wins in a row, which tied a school record with one of our other teams from the past. And at that point, I think our kids were growing in confidence. And the only game that we lost before tournaments, after the Carroll game, we ran off 20 out of 21, which is an awful, awful good stretch. And
yep.
The only loss we had was a 4-3 setback to Ogden in the 8 innings, and we faced two of their top three pitchers.
Is that, as you look back, Coach, the toughest loss to have taken? That was a game that it you guys seemed like you had.
Well, we did have it, really. You know, it was one game that, you know, we made a defensive mistake that the other team capitalized on, and then we had a rundown that we opted to take an out of that allowed the tying run to score. But, you know what, looking back at that game, I think it was probably good in the long run. You know, sometimes I don't want to say you don't want to get full of yourself, but you got to be careful. You don't want to get overconfident. But I think we realized that, you know, we could be beat, if we didn't play good baseball every single out, every single inning. And so I think that caught our attention again, and then I thought we were really sharp after that.
Coach, I look at that loss to Don Bosco in the quarterfinals, and I felt as I was calling that game that, man, this is a really good baseball game between two really good teams that are both playing well. As I sat back that night and over the weekend and thought more about it, I started to even realize how much more I thought that was a really good baseball game between two teams. For you, now that you've had a few days to kind of reflect back on it, how good of a game was that?
If you'd have told me going into that Don Bosco game that we were going to out-hit them 7-6 with their 408 team batting average, and we out-hit them, we were going to commit no errors according to the scoring down at the state tournament, commit no errors, you know, with the wind blowing and swirling the way it was, and then to walk one batter and then one other one intentionally, and I think we struck them out five times, I think I would have taken it. And the fact that we also chased their pitcher with 110 pitches in the sixth inning,
yep,
we did everything right in that game, Jeff, with the exception that we just simply stranded too many base runners. You know, we ended up stranding 11. We had base runners sprinkled throughout that game, and we just couldn't get the key hit when we really needed it. Never had an opportunity with a runner at third base with less than 2 outs to even squeeze in a run. And so that was probably the frustrating thing for us. But our hitters were obviously battling. We fouled off a lot of pitches.
Mm-hmm.
We just weren't able to square up that one key hit that we needed.
Was that the best game you guys played, even though you left 11, or was it the kind of the hammering in a way of Southeast Warren in the sub-state game, or what did you feel like was the best game you guys played this year?
Southeast Warren game was a special game. It was a tremendous atmosphere. I mean, those sub-state games, when both crowds are sitting on top of you, kind of in a kind of a quaint setting as compared to Principal Park. It's loud. Like I said, it was a very neat setting in Dowling. I think that was one of our better games. Our kids were confident going in, and when we had the opportunity to score in that game, we did come up with the key hit, contrary to what we did in the state tournament. But we did a lot of nice things in that sub-state game.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about that group of seniors. You've mentioned most of them throughout here the interview, but a special group of kids, and to make the kind of run that you guys did, that means you have some really good leadership.
No doubt about it. I mean, Christian Cook had been a good pitcher last year. He was a great pitcher for us again this year. But probably the biggest thing with Christian is, you know, he only hit 163 for us last year, believe it or not, and he hit 367 this year. That's quite a bit of an improvement. Ben Obert, you know, 222 hitter last year, 351 hitter this year. And also, I think Ben was one that after about 9 games, we were toying with him at first base and a little bit at catcher. And what we decided to do is move him to become our permanent catcher, and then we switched Darren McAllister to first base. And I really think it was a comfortable move for both of those guys. And then Ben was just tremendous back there for us. What a leader. He really framed pitches. I can't remember hardly any balls that got by him because he would block. And then one thing that he really did well down the stretch was he threw out base runners.
Yep.
He limited the other team's opportunity to steal bases. He just had a phenomenal year this year, both offensively and defensively. And then you have Trent Golay, a third senior for us. Trent, you know, had one of those somewhat frustrating seasons. You know, he had mono for 3 weeks in the middle of the season. And if you reflect back, he probably, you know, was getting weak, a week before that, and then it took him a week or more after that. So really about 5 weeks of his season was spent battling, you know, mononucleosis. And he was finally getting back to where he needed to be come tournament time. And I think you saw it in the state tournament. He played a great game, got a couple hits, fielded everything. What a way to go out for him. And then our fourth senior was Nathan Derner. And, you know, Nathan was one that didn't get a lot of varsity time for us this year, but I'll just share one quick story with you about Nathan Derner, maybe the impact that he had, not necessarily on the stat sheet, but one game we had one of our players that was having a frustrating game, and he came out of the game, you know, was upset with himself, that type of stuff, and, you know, was kind of whining and complaining a little bit, and Nathan looked at him and said, you know, this isn't the Coon Rapids Baird, and if he was talking to you, the Coon Rapids Baird Blankmans, it's the Coon Rapids Baird Crusaders, and why don't you get over it and support your teammates?
That's
huge.
You can
have an impact on your teammates like that. I don't know if you can calculate what that means statistically. So So we had leadership not only from guys that were on the field, Jeff, but we had leadership within the dugout from guys like Nathan Derner.
And that's, you get that kind of leadership, everybody's going to buy in. That's an outstanding story, Coach. You hope that everybody kind of listens to that and takes that one to heart. Coach, you mentioned the undefeated run through the conference, second time in school. I think you guys have done that. The winning of 13 in a row ties the school record. Any other records that you guys set this year?
We did. We must have been hanging all over the plate for some reason, but we did set a record on getting hit by pitches. We got hit 81 times this year, and that was a record that was stood. You know, in 2016, we were hit 76 times. It's not anything that we specifically teach that we want to get hit, but on the other hand, we do want to own the batter's box. And so, you know, we have some particular techniques that we allow our players to use to protect themselves, but yet not be intimidated in the batter's box. So that was one. And I mentioned also, you know, the new fielding average, which was huge for us. It led us all year long. And then the other one was fewest errors per game. We played 34 games against pretty good competition. And in those 34 games, we committed a total of 49 errors. That's, as it calculates out, 1.44 errors per game. And that's the best that we've ever had. That broke an old record from back in 2008. And then I mentioned that we tied the win streak of 13, too. So we did have quite a few new records that were established. We had a couple kids go into the individual record book. On Christian Cook was 9-0-1 as a pitcher, so an undefeated season there. And Quentin Culbertson was 9-0-2 for us. And as I mentioned, those were two of our top three pitchers. So we had a nice statistical season for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about that infield defense then and some of the younger guys that were a part of that. Cage Schlepp, we've mentioned as well being one of your pitchers, but also played short. Trenton Golay this year, he seemed to be that guy you could put short, third, second, wherever you played him. He seemed to play well. And then Aaron McAllister seemed to solidify over at first base. But talk about those infield kids.
Well, Trenton's a kid that was probably one of the most versatile. Literally, he could have played any position on the field. Pitch, catch, outfield, infield, but we did utilize him basically in the middle infield and at third base. And, you know, the kid has great hands, a great arm, and was just very, very sound for us. The other one that really also improved, I mentioned Christian before, but Christian had a tremendous defensive year too, especially the last third of the season. There's not much that got by him at third base. We even shifted him over to shortstop a time or two when Trenton was out with mono. And then Aaron McAllister, what a rock at first base. If you want a ball in the dirt, that you're going to have one player that has to scoop it or block it, that's probably the kid that I'm going to pick. He's as good as we've had over there as far as fundamentally scooping stuff and then not letting things get by him. And then the maturity of Cage Schlepp at shortstop. You know, early in the year he struggled a little bit, but then the confidence started to get there and you could really see him play a great shortstop. And then we had a couple younger kids at second base, Quentin Culbertson and Preston McAllister, that continue to get better too.
With KD, does he ever get rattled? Because even down in that quarterfinal round game on the Hill, big situations never seemed like he was not poised.
Cade's kind of one of those poker face type guys, I guess. you can't ever really quite read him. But as we talk to our players going into those big games, we said, fellas, butterflies are natural. You're going to be a little nervous. You're going to be a little jittery. I said, but so is your opponent. It's how well you can control it. We talk about, you know, a lot of breathing techniques, take a deep breath. That's going to allow you to relax a little bit and perform at the level that you want to perform at. So you sometimes don't see that behind the scenes, but we give hopefully our players or arm them with some, you know, mental techniques that allow them to relax and maybe bounce back from a mistake or else calm those nerves down a little bit. So I'm sure Cade's utilizing some of those, but yeah, he's pretty poised out there on the mound.
And I love your outfield coach, and they're all coming back next year. These guys can all run, they can all field, they can all throw. Your outfield's got a chance to be really pretty special.
They are very special, and I told him that going down to the state tournament. I said, big ballpark, fellas, and this fits right into what we want, because you got to cover a lot of area down there. And I said, you three, I would match you up with any other three outfielders in the state tournament. as far as being able to go get balls in the gaps and catch them, and then just fundamentally making sure you're throwing to the right bases and stuff. You know, we all have different arm strengths out there and stuff too, but our infielders also know, you know, what guy do we need to go out a little further on to help on the relay? What guy do we need to stay back a little bit and allow him to make the throw? So our players kind of learn each other's strengths and weaknesses, and what we try to do is maybe hide that weakness from one guy and turn it into a strength with one of our other players.
And Josh Ramirez, another guy, hit in the DH spot for you a lot this year, but I look back at that quarterfinal round game, came up with a big base hit that knocked in your run. He was just a guy that was solid at the plate all year long.
Came out of nowhere because he really didn't have hardly any varsity at-bats last year, if I recall correctly, maybe none. And he was one that we just kept looking at as practice continued to develop, you know, at the beginning of the year. And the balls were just jumping off his bat, and all of a sudden we're looking at him as, you know, we need to take a look a little bit more as to whether or not he can handle the curveball and some of the off-speed stuff. And once he started to do that, yeah, he fit nicely into that role. And when Josh makes contact with it, it does go a long ways.
And then you had a lot of young guys, Easton Hayes, Tanner Oswald, Lance Klaberg, all guys, and Jacob Strada. I know I typed in their name a lot of times this year for runs scored as guys that were coming in as pinch and courtesy runners.
We tell them that's an awful big role. Our little saying, just to kid around with them, is don't get caught with the S on your helmet. And S for us stands for stupid.
Yep.
Don't get caught being stupid on the base paths, because literally that will turn a game around.
Yep.
You get picked off, you make a bad mistake, you get a bad jump. I mean, you guys have to understand how critical your role is. And what that does is it just allows them to gain confidence as a young player. Now, those are going to be several players that are going to be asked now to fill the void left by the four seniors
yep.
that are leaving our ball club. But now they have some confidence because they've been in varsity games. They kind of understand the pace and the level of play that they're getting into.
Coach, you mentioned earlier that you know, you like the nucleus you got coming back, that you guys, you know, still needed to get better at maybe hitting with two strikes. What are some of the things you're going to focus on with this group for the offseason to get everybody ready for next year?
Well, I think we need to continue to develop, you know, our velocity, whether we're a pitcher or not. Arm strength helps you on defense. Considerably, allows you to do more things. But we're going to need to have kids really step up now. We're losing a lot of innings with Christian Cook leading us. Obviously, we've got a nice 1-2 punch in Cade and Quinton, but we need three or four other guys to jump in there and then become somewhat of a dominant pitcher for us at the varsity level. So that's going to be one of our points of emphasis, is to get the kids in, you know, during pitching practice and stuff, and see who can actually raise their game up to the varsity level. Certainly want the kids to, if they can swing the bats, you know, you're limited on what you can do with them in the off season and stuff. They got to basically do that on their own. But they need to somehow get a bat in their hand, and, you know, we've got some different things that we allow them to do to work out on their own. But they're going to continue to need to do that. Biggest thing is it's hard, Jeff, with all the other sports going on, because we want to respect them, and we've been fortunate over the years to have a balance too, so we want them to enjoy their football and their basketball and all their other sports. So sometimes it's difficult for us to get our swings in like we need to, just because of a time factor.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, congratulations again on another great season. Always enjoy getting to work with you and Coach Hayden as well down there. You got a great staff, and Lisa and Kevin and everybody that helps out with the field. And when we come down to broadcast or just come down to watch. So we thank everybody. Appreciate your time here already today, and thanks very much for joining us.
Well, Jeff, like I think you just mentioned it, this is not a one-pony show from – you know, the standpoint off and said the head coach sometimes gets too much credit sometimes, and also probably gets too much criticism sometimes when things aren't going well. But without the help of my assistant coach, John Hayden, that's been with me for a long, long time, along with being a former player, and then the support that I get from my wife, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not always a bed of roses when you go home sometimes. So she's there, and I'm able to confide in her. And you already mentioned, you know, Kevin Reese does a tremendous job on the field. And we get a lot of behind-the-scenes people, you know, a former gentleman that played at Coon Rapids with Steve Brannon that lives in Panora. He comes up and fixes our railing and paints stuff and builds stuff for us for our dugouts. And Dan Pomeroy takes a lot of these players under his wing and teaches them probably things that they never would be taught otherwise about, you know, how to conduct themselves and, you know, just learning from his experiences with other players and stuff. And then our administration has also been very, very supportive, too, as far as helping us keep our facilities up. So hats off to a lot of other people. You know, I certainly couldn't do this by myself. So I'm blessed to have a lot of people that help out.
Well, Coach, looking forward to next year. Appreciate you joining us here today.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
You bet. Head Coach John Waddle again with the Coon Rapids Bears baseball team as we take a look back at the 2019 season.